This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WPHD, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're here on a very busy Wednesday night as we are awaiting the official announcement by Elon Musk to welcome Governor Ron DeSantis, who will be announcing he's running for president. Great to have you here today. 855-839-1210 is the number. If you'd like to weigh in today, you can certainly tweet me on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. All right? That would be great to hear from you. And, it's just there's a lot to discuss here. And we are awaiting this launch. And again, I want to just say very clearly, I would take Donald Trump's announcement as well if Donald Trump were going to run for president and make an announcement during my show, which I would do. I mean, come on. But I need to clarify something real quick because I always like to be right. It's the thing I have. I like to prove that I'm right all the time. So George Sweeney says Connery absolutely was the first Bond. Because I said he wasn't. So who's right?
I think he's technically you're right, because there was an original version of Casino Royale, which
Correct.
Was a comedy, but
Correct.
Sean Connery was not the star of that film.
Correct. Bond was first portrayed on screen by American actor Barry Nelson in a 1954 Climax TV adaptation, Casino Royale. But it's still considered a movie. So in 1961, Eon Productions began work on an adaptation of the 1958 novel Dr. No. And Dr. No, after they considered Cary Grant and David Niven, they cast Sean Connery as James Bond. So technically speaking, Sean Connery was the second actor to play James Bond. Isn't that something? I think it's fun. I don't know. I mean, I'm a nerd. I just like to always win, obviously. But it was a live television adaptation. I do. No, I do. I mean, you know.
Yes, you technically were correct.
I was correct. I have this thing in life where somebody challenges me, I'll stop whatever I'm doing to prove myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the heck with a presidential announcement.
Yeah.
This is more important.
I'm telling you, Opelka might be dead to me. I mean, I may have to get somebody else to fill in for me if going forward. I don't know. Because his stupid tweet to me, for me to stop saying cisgender when I was clearly using sarcasm to mock how the left talks about people like me. Like, that was the entire point. The entire point was they hate me because I am, and I use their language, a white cisgender male. Like, people don't talk like that. Woke idiots in corporate boardrooms who hate me talk like that. That was the point. And Opelka missed it. And now I get all these people trolling me on it. And I hate it. Now he's dead to me. Dead to me. He can never redeem himself unless he gives me more bourbon and more meat. That's the only way he can ever redeem himself. Stunt brain, Opelka, if you're listening, you can buy my love back by giving me your meat. That does not sound right in any way, shape, or form. Nothing about that sounds
this
right.
This is a family show.
I think I'm supposed to dump all that.
I gave this Japanese heart beef last week, and it was great. And so more bourbon. Bourbon and beef and everything will be fine again, all right? Very good. I think so. What? So now this deal with this DeSantis thing, what is happening here is what I want to know.
I've got spaces up now. No one's speaking.
Is this live or is it recorded?
No, it's live.
It's live.
Ron DeSantis was in spaces a second ago, but now he's gone. So he should be coming back soon, I would hope.
Now, explain to me what Twitter Spaces is. Explain in case the audience doesn't know.
So Twitter Spaces is essentially, I'll make it as basic as this. It's radio for Twitter. So when I've used Spaces before, it's been, you know, media personalities in town, you know, will create a space, whether it be for like, say, a World Series game or the Super Bowl, something like that, to get a reaction from fans who are also on Twitter. So they'll host, they'll be like, hey, sound off. What do you guys think? Get in line. All right, this person, what do you think? And be like, ah, these guys stink, you know? They can't play. So I don't know if they'll be taking questions in this, but that'd be cool if they did.
Okay. So basically, it's radio. So this is going to be an audio event. So it's not, you're not going to see DeSantis. You're not going to see Elon Musk.
Nope. Correct.
Audio only.
Audio only.
Ron's back in.
He's back in.
But still no sound.
Still no sound. It's not going well so far.
Well, I don't think they've started yet. The link is up, but they actually haven't started yet.
It's 6:07.
They're a little delayed.
Here we go. Yeah. Here's some. Yeah, good thing that's not up. All right.
What was that? Sound like an alien invasion.
Yeah,
what was
the start
that?
Of the event?
Yeah, someone's trying to get it going here.
They've got a lot of people in there. 200,000.
200,000 in the Twitter space.
All right,
you have
here
to
we go.
Be-
we're starting.
Are we starting here? All right. This is the first time a presidential announcement like this has ever happened, I think, right? I don't hear anything.
Alana's sitting next to me.
And yeah, this is David
Sachs,
by the way.
We want to welcome you to this historic Twitter Spaces event, and more broadly, a first in the history of social media. Tonight, I'm pleased to introduce two individuals who've done more to loosen the grip.
Oh, and it's out.
Well, we lost David Sachs.
He just, that's it?
He should be back.
This is going swimming.
This is, I was going to say, this is smooth. I mean, if I'm DeSantis' people right now, I am not happy right now at this moment.
Absolutely not.
No. You work so hard in politics to make sure that events like this go off without a hitch. And would somebody pull the plug?
I don't know. David Sachs is gone and we don't have audio right now.
So right now in the Twitter spaces where Elon Musk is supposed
he's
to...
He's back. Hang on.
Okay, he's back.
People here that I think we are kind of melting the servers, which is a good sign. All right, I'd like to just introduce the folks in the room here. So it's safe to say we wouldn't be making history without the man sitting next to me, Elon Musk. His decision to purchase this platform last year to restore it to its original mission as a beacon for free speech, and even to expose Twitter's past complicity with a government censorship regime, might have surprised many, but not those of us who've known and worked with Elon for nearly a quarter century.
His commitment to freedom
and his willingness to put his money where his mouth is,
upset the narrative control imposed on us by our government,
elite institutions, and corporate media. Go ahead and send a heart up if you want to say thank you, Elon. Governor DeSantis first drew my attention and support when I saw how he responded to the COVID pandemic and refused to believe what we now know to be the many falsehoods that government experts and their media mouthpieces were feeding us. He kept Florida's schools open and its economy thriving, while my state of California chose 2 years of learning loss and lockdowns that we have yet to fully...
What happened?
We lost David Sachs again.
I don't think they've ever had a Twitter space this big, so no, I think it's just crashing over and over again.
They just cleared 300,000 people.
Okay, but they should have assumed this, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing. You talked about cutting the cable either today or yesterday. Yeah. That's a thing that's going to, you know, really rub people the wrong way is when they're watching like a sporting event or a big televised event, say like a debate or something, and then the thing just crashes and then nothing happens, because it happened last week for the Celtics series. It just crashed in the middle of the fourth quarter and then never came back, so a lot of people didn't get to see it.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's crazy, just these people running these streaming services, whether it's Twitter or whatever, you don't realize that a lot of people are going to watch it? Shouldn't you
prepare for that? Elon Musk is putting people in a space. I think he should have anticipated what happens if millions of people jump on and they're acting like, oh, we're overwhelmed here with our... Well, you didn't expect this. This isn't a lemonade stand. This is a presidential announcement.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had 2.5 million views, it looks like, with almost 350,000 people in the space right now. And for anyone wondering, David Sachs is an old friend of Elon Musk. He was a co-founder of PayPal.
So how about somebody lends them a MacBook so they can...
Let's see. So,
oh, here we go.
Yeah, I think so. Just to simplify this.
Nope, then they're out. And they're- this is a home run for a presidential announcement. I'll tell you what.
I think we're just going to use your...
All right. Nope, and they're out.
It's just not a good omen.
This is not... No. No. Look, I said it earlier. This is why... Typically, you do events that are very scripted in terms of the audience, who's there on stage. I've worked on these campaigns before. You don't let things to chance like this because it sets a bad tone. Everything here is being left to chance.
Well, there's 382,000 people in the room. All right, great. So let's see.
So they just keep crashing, huh?
Yeah, I think we've got just a massive number.
It sounds like a couple guys in a college dorm room smoking weed. About to talk about what they want to do for America. And they can't believe that 35 people in their fraternity house have logged on as a joke to crash the server.
If it's an issue with people, like just the number of people that have joined this Twitter space, it's getting worse. The numbers are going up.
Right, so it's going to keep crashing.
The problem is going to be resolved.
One of them good problems.
This is a good problem.
People are interested.
Yeah, but it's going to make the problem. I mean, they're gaining about 25,000 people every 60 seconds. They're closing in on 500,000 now. And they were having issues at under 300,000. So, I mean, I'm not a tech expert, but I got to imagine that problem isn't just going to magically go away.
All right. So just to reset the deck here, what's happening right now is that Elon Musk is hosting Ron DeSantis in something called a Twitter Spaces. And it keeps crashing.
All right, we're just reallocating more server capability to be able to handle the load here. It's really going crazy.
And he can't handle his load.
obviously very excited to have Governor DeSantis make this.
And they crashed again. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to break early so we can come back and hopefully you can hear this as they resolve their tech issues. So stick with me. I'll make sure that when it comes back, we'll get it for you. Don't worry. It's not my fault. It's Elon Musk's fault. I had a great visit recently with Cherry Hill Volvo. Both Bridget and I upgraded to a tremendous, tremendous new Volvos. My wife loves her XC90. What a great family car. I am taking advantage of their incredible lease program, Care by Volvo. When you take advantage of Care by Volvo, your payments include insurance, prepaid schedule maintenance, tire and wheel care, 15,000 miles annually, excessive wear coverage, and more. And after just 5 months, you have the option to change to a different Volvo, keep the Volvo you have, or even cancel the lease altogether. Talk about simplifying your life. Just stop in for details and to learn more about Care by Volvo. And remember, relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo, including their relationship with Costco members. Right now, members can save $2,500 on the XC40 or $1,000 on other models. These can be combined with other offers, so see store for details. The luxury experience you deserve is waiting for you at Cherry Hill Volvo. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you at Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, so as of right now, this is a complete disaster that's happening. I'm sorry, Tina Turner, let's play it. Sorry, that's her tribute. Kind of could be the theme song for this announcement, too. Oof. Oof. It was so entertaining when the boogie starts to explode. I heard somebody say, this going right on. Burn that mama down. This going right on. Burn that mama down. Look, here's the deal. Well, Tina Turner died today. She's 83 years old. A true legend. I mean, really just a legend. So Governor Ron DeSantis is in with Elon Musk in something called the Twitter space, and it keeps crashing. And right now it says details not available. And, you know, people are commenting along. I think that Tommy Lahren has a great point. Just someone get a camera in that room and just start streaming this, because right now you've got all these people waiting to see this, and this is a presidential announcement, and it just keeps crashing. I mean, it just this is amateur hour. Listen, I've worked on campaigns my entire life before I got into radio. You don't want this to happen. This just looks bad. This looks bad. I know it's not Ron DeSantis' fault, but everything in politics is about optics, and the optics of this look absolutely terrible. So all you're seeing right now is it says details not available, right? Is that what it says?
Yeah, it's not even, I don't even think it's up any longer.
Yeah, they definitely closed that.
So it's 6:22. We were expecting Governor Ron DeSantis to make this formal announcement at 6 o'clock. 22 minutes of it crashing, and there's nothing happening. We have something now, some audio now?
Hang on. No, I don't think so.
This must be like what your frustration is with the Odyssey app every day.
Literally.
Johnny Cook said that on Twitter. Thank you, Johnny. Yeah, so let's understand here. I mean, this is just fodder for Trump at this point. He's just going to mock this. And people are just going to leave is what's going to happen. At 8 p.m. tonight, DeSantis is going to be on Fox News, and he's going to speak, you know, whoever's interviewing him tonight at 8 o'clock. I think it's Trey Gowdy. But there was anticipation. There was buildup for an announcement, for a launch. He had tweeted out this video a short time ago. Ready to lead our great American comeback. He tweeted out the following. I am running for president to lead our great American comeback. Join the fight, rondesantis.com. And it was supposed to be live on Twitter Spaces, and now the whole thing is crashing. So not his fault. I'm not blaming him or his campaign. I'm sure that they trusted Elon Musk and Twitter to make sure that this would be okay, that this would work, but it's not working. And what particularly burns me is I have nothing planned for this hour. I was assuming I could just listen to this for an hour. I didn't do any show prep for the 6 p.m. hour. I'm kidding. I have a ton of stuff left over. But I'm just, as an observer of politics, as somebody who's worked on political campaigns, I think that this is about as bad as you could want it to go.
I think they're back.
All right, they're back now. 25 minutes into this now.
Never mind.
And they're out again.
They created a new space. The original one, I think it like tapped out at 500,000, maybe a little over 500,000. So now they've created a new one.
I mean, if you're Trump, you're loving this right now. You are just loving this.
Oh, they're live. They're back.
They're live. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so Governor DeSantis, are you there? Can you hear us? I think you broke.
I'm here.
I know. I think you broke the internet there. We had over 500,000 people in one Twitter space, and it was growing by like 50,000 a minute. So, congrats on breaking the internet there.
Well, yeah. I mean, try some new things. You're gonna.
Yes.
It's adventurous. So.
Yes.
But so, I think the value here is actually really high for people to hear directly from presidential candidates and to answer a Q&A live, and you can get a sense for how a candidate really is, and where it's not just canned speeches and teleprompters. You can tell by the, some of the mistakes that it's real. So, with that, I guess I should turn it over to...
Governor, there's been a lot of speculation over the last couple of months about your plans. I understand that you may have an announcement to make. We've got, I think, a record audience assembled here. Probably the biggest room that's probably ever been assembled online. What would you like to tell them?
Well, I am running for president of the United States to lead our great American comeback. Look, we know our country's going in the wrong direction. We see it with our eyes, and we feel it in our bones. Our southern borders collapse. Drugs are pouring into the country. Our cities are being hollowed out by spiking crime. The federal government's making it harder for the average family to make ends meet and to attain and maintain a middle-class lifestyle. And our president, well, he lacks vigor, flounders in the face of our nation's challenges, and he takes his cues from the woke mob. I don't think it has to be this way. American decline is not inevitable. It is a choice. And we should choose a new direction, a path that will lead to American revitalization. We must restore sanity to our nation. This means embracing fiscal and economic sanity. Stop pricing hardworking Americans out of a good standard of living through inflationary borrow, print, and spending policies. And please embrace American energy independence. This also means replacing the woke mind virus with reality, facts, and enduring principles. Merit must trump identity politics. We must return normalcy to our communities. America's a sovereign country. Our borders must be respected. We cannot have foreigners pouring into our country illegally by the millions. We cannot allow drug cartels to poison our population with fentanyl. Public deserve safe communities, and law and order must be maintained in American cities. We can't have inmates running the asylum, and we must reject attacks on the men and women of law enforcement. We also must reestablish integrity in our institutions. This includes the military. I'm proud to be a Navy veteran, an Iraq veteran, and I revere our services. But when revered institutions like those in our military are more concerned with matters not central to the mission, whether it's global warming or gender ideology and pronouns, morale declines and recruiting suffers. And you need to eliminate these distractions, and we need to get focused on the core mission. We also cannot have true constitutional government if the most significant issues are decided by the whims of unelected bureaucrats rather than the people's elected representatives. Reestablishing integrity in our institutions means we must reinvigorate our constitutional system by returning the government to its rightful owners, we the people. No social or economic transformation without representation. Truth needs to be our foundation. Common sense can no longer be an uncommon virtue. And in Florida, we proved it could be done. We chose facts over fear, education over indoctrination, law and order over rioting and disorder. We held the line when freedom hung in the balance. And we're thriving as a result. Florida's the nation's fastest growing state. We're number one in net in-migration, number one in new business formations, recently ranked number one in education. We have a 50-year low crime rate and one of the lowest tax and debt per capita in America. But we also understand governing is not entertainment. It's not about building a brand or virtue signaling. It is about delivering results. And our results in Florida have been second to none. We can and we must deliver big results for America. I pledge to be an energetic executive that will take on the important issues. Biden's pursued inflationary policies that are hurting working people. We will reverse those policies and we'll build an economy where working Americans can achieve a good standard of living. Biden's opened the southern border and allowed massive amounts of drugs to pour into the country. We'll shut down the border, construct a border wall, and hold the drug cartels accountable. Biden's embraced medical authoritarianism, such as unconstitutional COVID vax mandates. We will ensure that those violations of liberty can never happen again. Biden's allowed woke ideology to drive his agenda. We will never surrender to the woke mob, and we will leave woke ideology in the dustbin of history. Biden's also politicized the military and caused recruiting to plummet. We will eliminate ideological agendas from our military, focus the military on the core mission, and we will reverse the poor recruiting trends. Finally, Biden's weaponized the power of the administrative state to advance his left-wing agenda. We will reconstitutionalize the executive branch, and we'll bring the administrative state to heel. Now, you can't do any of that if you don't win. There is no substitute for victory. We must end the culture of losing that has infected the Republican Party in recent years. The tired dogmas of the past are inadequate for a vibrant future. We must look forward, not backwards. We need the courage to lead, and we must have the strength to win. And to voters who are participating in this primary process, my pledge to you is this. If you nominate me, you can set your clock to January 20th, 2025 at high noon, because on the west side of the U.S. Capitol, I will be taking the oath of office as the 47th president of the United States. No excuses. I will get the job done. Now, these past few years have given me a new appreciation for the fragility of our freedoms. I never thought I would see things in America that we saw during the COVID-19 pandemic, but our founding fathers were keenly aware of the fragility of freedom. When they framed our Constitution, they came to arm with having studied the history of every republic and the history of mankind. And they noticed that all of those experiments only had one thing in common, and it was this. Every single one of them had failed. And so they knew it fell to our country, the United States of America, to determine whether people could really govern themselves. Could we have a society based on the idea that our rights are God-given, not government-granted? And that society functions based on the rule of law, not the rule of individual men. And when Dr. Benjamin Franklin walked out of that convention, he was asked, did you deliver a republic or a monarchy? He said, a republic if you can keep it. They knew freedom didn't run on autopilot. They knew each generation would have a responsibility to safeguard freedom. And it's our responsibility to do so at this important juncture in our nation's history. We have a lot of work to do to ensure the country gets back on track. I ask everybody listening to please join me on this mission. Please invest in our campaign by going to rondesantis.com and making a donation. Thank you. God bless. And I look forward to the discussion.
All right. Thank you, Governor. Appreciate that. I guess just as a first follow-up here, thank you for putting up with these technical issues. I think we're definitely breaking new ground here. As far as I know, no major presidential candidate has ever announced their candidacy on social media this way. Certainly in a Twitter space. So, thank you for doing that. What made you want to kind of take the chance of doing it this way, as opposed to just doing it on cable news or the usual way?
Well, when COVID hit, I had to make decisions about: do you go with the crowd, or do you look at the data yourself and cut against the grain? And I chose to do the latter. I faced huge blowback for doing that from the bureaucracy, from elites, from the media. But my view was I had to look out for the people I represented, prefer protecting their jobs over trying to safeguard my own political hide. but it was very, very lonely in a lot of those decisions. And part of the reason it was so lonely is because there was a concerted effort to try to stifle dissent. There was an official narrative about lockdowns, about closing schools, about forced masking, about all these different things that we had to navigate during COVID. And it was an orthodoxy being enforced by the major tech platforms in conjunction with the federal government. And if we can't have an honest debate in a free country about issues that affect hundreds of millions of people, like lockdowns, then what good is the First Amendment at that point? Those are precisely the times when we needed to have debate be robust. You should not be taking down articles that criticize those draconian policies. And yet that's exactly what happened. So it occurred to me that if that had continued, I think free speech in this country was on its way out the door. And so when Elon Musk stepped up to purchase Twitter, he paid a lot of money for it. And I'm sure because he's a good businessman, Elon, I'm sure you'll end up making money off it. But bottom line is you had to put your money where your mouth is, because I think you recognize that you can't have a free society unless we have the freedom to debate the most important issues that are affecting our civilization. That did not happen during COVID. The truth was censored repeatedly. And now that Twitter is in the hands of a free speech advocate, that would not be able to happen again on this Twitter platform. So I think what was done with Twitter is really significant for the future of our country. We cannot have a society in which government is colluding with major tech platforms to enforce an orthodoxy.
Well, thank you. We're absolutely committed to freedom of speech and a level playing field and just a vigorous debate. And hopefully this can be a platform that brings people of divergent political views to exchange those views, and perhaps some minds will be changed one way or the other. And but it's just incredibly important, as you highlight, that the First Amendment is irrelevant if all the media and all the and the government are operating in lockstep. It's it makes the most important amendment, the one that was most urgently added to the Constitution, moot if you cannot have free and open debate. So Twitter was indeed expensive, but free speech is priceless.
Awesome, thank you. So, Governor, I'm going to ask some questions while we get some other kind of speakers in the queue to ask questions. I think maybe some.
This
people
is Governor Ron DeSantis giving his official presidential announcement on Twitter, Twitter Spaces with Elon Musk. It's got off to a rocky start, to say the least. But bringing this to you live.
The NAACP issued a travel advisory against your state, claiming that Florida is not a safe place for minorities to visit. What do you say to those who've been advised that somehow they aren't welcome in your state?
Claiming that Florida is unsafe is a total farce. I mean, are you kidding me? You look at cities around this country, they are awash in crime. In Florida, our crime rate is at a 50-year low. If you look at the top 25 cities for crime in America, Florida does not have a single one amongst the top 25. And if you look at cities like Baltimore and Chicago, you got kids more likely to get shot than to receive a first-class education. Yet I don't see the NAACP batting an eye about all the outrage and the carnage that's happening in those areas. So this is a political stunt. These left-wing groups have been doing it for many, many years. And at the end of the day, what they're doing is colluding with legacy media to try to manufacture a narrative. Now, the good news is fewer and fewer Americans are gullible enough to believe this dribble. And platforms like Twitter are there where people can debunk these lies in real time. And I would just say, as an American citizen, if you are uncritically accepting narratives spun by legacy media and left-wing groups, you're failing at your job of being a conscientious citizen. And I think people just see right through it. And oh, by the way, have any of these travel advisories, because they've been doing this for a while, all these left-wing groups, have any of them worked? Well, we're the number one state for net in-migration and have been every year since I've been governor. We just capped the highest quarter for tourism in the history of the state of Florida. And our view is we want everybody to succeed regardless of their skin color. We don't divvy up people by race. At the same time, it is worth pointing out that we have in Florida more Black-owned businesses than any state in the nation. And we've also had more African-Americans lead state agencies under my administration than at any time in Florida history. But with us, you know they're there because of merit, not because we're trying to play identity politics. And if you want to look at education, the Black students in Florida perform much higher than Black students in most other states. We rank number 3 in fourth grade reading and number 2 in fourth grade math amongst our Black student population. And oh, by the way, the head of the NAACP lives in Florida, and a lot of their board members have put out on social media during my governorship Florida vacations where they seem to be having an awful good time.
That's great. Well, I mean, Florida's a great state, and I think everyone, the people realize that. Some of the things that are being said are just truly absurd. I mean, I saw some headline from The Atlantic basically claiming that anyone who listens to this Spaces on Twitter is basically a Nazi.
That was The Atlantic, and then, Vanity Fair said that that you were hosting or interviewing because David Duke wasn't available.
Although
I'm not totally sure who they were saying was David Duke. I don't know if it was you or Governor DeSantis. It's sort of a little bit unclear, but
I think this is a function of the legacy media, these corporate journals. They're in their little bubble. And to draw allusions to stuff like that, I mean, how crazy do you have to be? But in their little bubble, it sounds like they're making some type of profound point. And so part of, I think, what Twitter is standing for is people should be exposed to different viewpoints. And I think the elites in our society have tried to cluster themselves to where their assumptions are never challenged. And that's not a good way, I think, to live. It's also not a good way to be a critical thinker, because no one's ever going to question, obviously, wrong assumptions because everybody around you shares them.
Absolutely.
And I think they become totally hysterical because they don't like the idea that their control over the media is being, you know, disintermediated.
Yeah.
Because now, you know, candidates for president can just speak directly.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll continue to monitor this for you. This is Governor Ron DeSantis' presidential announcement. They're doing some Q&A, obviously. Got to a very, very late and rough start. I thought his prepared remarks, it sounded just not good. I mean, I don't know what to say. It was sounded rushed, and it didn't sound like there was any passion or enthusiasm there. I think this is a terrible way to kick off a presidential election, a campaign, my opinion. I'm not taking shots at him. This is not a shot on him as a candidate. I just think this is a terrible way to announce you're running for president. I think there's a reason why people do big, large events in big rooms with balloons and bands and cheering fans and the energy and the enthusiasm, because it conveys something, an energy that this clearly does not. And it's just it's dull. And I mean, if that's what they're going for, okay. But if I were the candidate right now, I would not be happy with this. And obviously Ron DeSantis is giving it his best college try here, and he's making it sound like he's okay. But I would be, first of all, Trump's going to kill him over this and all the delays and everything else. It's just fodder for him to come out and say, is this what you can expect from a president, DeSantis? Now, obviously, it's not his fault, but that's the point. That's why you don't do these things, because if it doesn't go well, you're the one who owns it, regardless of the fact that it's not on you. There's a reason why presidential campaigns kick off in big, large ballrooms and stadiums, and to show the enthusiasm and to project the aura of a winner. And I think 25, 30 minutes of technical delays and then this kind of, you know, boring back and forth, in my opinion, does not convey that. Again, not a shot on DeSantis. It's just a shot on this announcement. But let me know what you think. You can tweet me at Rich Zeoli if you like. I want to tell you why I go to my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. Along with my wife, my children, and my parents, we all trust Dr. Veneria and his award-winning team. They've been voted best dentist in South Jersey for 9 consecutive years. His office is unique in that they treat your needs, not driven by money or costs. And Care is everything for Dr. Mike Veneria. That's why his patients travel from as far as California and Florida for his care and expertise. He understands patients have a clear choice to make when choosing dental implants. So see why he should be your best choice. He will exceed your expectations. I've experienced his expertise personally. Locations are right over the bridge in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Schedule your free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. Call 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020 or visit VeneriaDental.com. That's VanariaDental. My buddy, my dentist, and the master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Let's jump back into Elon Musk here on and Ron DeSantis. Congressman Tom Massey is speaking during the announcement about the weaponization of government.
Overlaid that with gun purchases that they had on record anywhere in the country for any period of time. And just they say they voluntarily gave that to the FBI. So that's disturbing to me. By the way, I've never met Elon Musk, but I'm one of your biggest fans. I'm the first congressman to have a Tesla. I'm on Starlink, and I would have bought a Powerwall, but I'm off the grid, and you wouldn't sell me one, so I had to make one with a wrecked Model S, and it's been running our house for 5 years. But
and just for the record, I was with Thomas our first year in Congress. He's got the Tesla, but his license plate is Kentucky Coal. So it's he's probably one of the only people that have that in the country.
Thanks for outing me, Governor DeSantis. Governor DeSantis, my question to you is, you know, you served here in Congress for 6 years with me. And why is it that Congress is so feckless at reining in these government agencies? And what do you think we need to do? And if you were president, what would you urge Congress, or what bills would you like to see and sign to rein in this, sort of overreach of government bureaucracy?
Well, first, I think there's a lot that the executive branch can do. And I will say when it comes to these agencies, we'll go into this a little bit more as the campaign goes on. But buckle up when I get in there, because the status quo is not acceptable. And we are going to make sure that we reconstitutionalize this government. And these agencies are totally out of control. There's no accountability. And we are going to bring that in a very big way. Now, part of the reason it's gotten so bad, power has been consolidated and effectively a fourth branch of government, because Congress hasn't used its two main powers that it has under the Constitution. First, the power of the purse. If an agency is engaging in conduct that is outside the realm of what is legal, or you think it's not good for the public interest, then you can remove the funding for those operations. There's nothing that they're not entitled to get the same level of funding every year. And yet Congress runs the government on autopilot, either continuing resolutions or massive omnibus spending bills. So these agencies are all bulletproof. They know that they're going to end up getting something similar or more every single year. And it creates an incentive for them to abuse their power. The other thing you can do is actually legislate. So you're not delegating to the bureaucracy key issues regarding how to enforce federal law. You should define what you want. All they should be doing is implementing. Instead, Congress will basically give an invitation for the bureaucracy to make really important substantive decisions. And so Congress may never vote on something, and the bureaucracy will cite a law from 20 years ago and do things that are going to transform our society or our country. That is not the way the founding fathers drew up the Constitution.
So would you sign the Reins Act? We passed it out of Judiciary today.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. That would, I think, be a great check for that. I also think that we're going to have a good chance to see some of the Chevron deference really curtailed or maybe even eliminated based on the U.S. Supreme Court's upcoming jurisprudence. And I think that's another reason why the bureaucracy has become so powerful, because courts have basically been told they can pretty much do what they want, and courts are supposed to just defer. I don't think that that's actually correct. I think the courts, they have to make a judgment about what does the law actually say, and you can't just defer to quote-unquote experts in the bureaucracy.
Thank you.
I agree with all of that, by the way. That's music to my ears.
Topic that's been in the news a lot is Disney. They blamed you for canceling plans for a $1 billion investment in Florida, said they were canceling 2,000 jobs. I saw other reports that suggested Disney was going to make the cuts anyway, and due to a larger, you know, budget cutting initiative. Regardless of why they did it, why do you feel your fight with Disney remains important, considering you already beat them on the parental rights bill that they opposed? And what would you say to some of your opponents in this race who argue that the fight has dragged on too long?
So first of all, Florida stands for the protection of children. We believe jamming gender ideology in elementary school is wrong. Disney obviously supported injecting gender ideology in elementary school. They did oppose our parents' rights legislation. And the fact is, when they opposed it, that was a big deal, because for 50 years, anytime Disney wanted something in Florida politics, they pretty much got it. But not this time. I signed the bill. We did, as you say, win on the issue. But what happened was Disney's posturing, some of the other statements that their executives were making, kind of the corporate culture had really been outed as trying to inject matters of sex into the programming for the youth. And I think a lot of parents, including me, look at that and say, that's not appropriate. I mean, we want our kids to be able to just be kids. And that's kind of our mantra. So you had this setup that Disney engineered many decades ago, where they actually had their own government that they controlled with no accountability. They were exempt from the laws that all their competitors had to follow, massive tax breaks, and they even racked up municipal debt. And Florida basically put them on a pedestal many decades ago and joined the state with this one company at the hip. We just didn't feel that we were comfortable maintaining that relationship. And so we ended their self-governing status. So Disney has to live under the same laws as everybody. They got to pay the same taxes as everybody. And obviously, they'll be responsible for those debts. So the reason why there's a, quote, fight is just because they filed a lawsuit against the state of Florida trying to get their special privileges reinstituted.
All right, listen, I got to run, but the great one, Mark Levin, is up next. And I agree with everything you talked about with Chevron and reigning in the executive branch. No question about that. I have a lot more to say for you tomorrow. Don't forget, Friday we are live in Cape May at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So please join us for that live show, 3 to 7 p.m. All right, keep the conversation going on Twitter, @RichZioli. Mark Levin is up next. Thank you for listening.
Rich Zioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.